Last year, we had 46 murders in Fort Wayne with four yet to be called, so probably 50. Over the last 3 years, we're well over 100 murders. And actually, maybe a more troubling stat is that we have over 350 murders that are not yet solved. So we need to change some things fundamentally to improve violent crime, to reduce violent crime in Fort Wayne. The first thing I'm going to do is reinstitute community-oriented policing. In the late 90s, under Chief Neil Moore, we were actually very good at this. In short, officers are assigned smaller geographic territories, and they are instructed to park their cars, to get out, to meet the neighbors, the residents, the commercial tenants, and establish relationships. Relationships yield trust. Trust yields witnesses. Witnesses are what is required to solve the crimes. So community-oriented policing is number one. Number two, we're going to have more officers in Fort Wayne. We may have more because we just hire more. We will certainly have more because we are going to move officers from behind desks to the streets into either detective positions or traffic positions. I've talked with probably 50 plus officers now, and almost every single one of them have volunteered that suggestion to me rather than me bringing it up. So this is actually their idea, not mine.
Another thing you mention in your platform is the need to implement a zero-based regulation and budgeting process. So for the layperson at home, what does that look like to you?
Yeah, zero-based budgeting is something that I've done for 25 years in business. It's very simply this. I have a budget. I lead a team of about 400 people where I work, and it's in the tens and tens of millions of dollars. But as every calendar year ends, I start the next year with zero as a budget. Because my boss says to me, Tim, you have to justify every dollar you need to spend in the following year. You zero out the budget, zero based. What that does, it forces department heads to really consider whether they have to spend the money that they spent the year before, whether they could spend money more intelligently in the following year. That's zero based budgeting. We will do that. It is clear Mayor Tom Henry has not done that. It is clear the city council has not required that by virtue of in the 2019 budget, for example, the city council cut a meager 0.3% from Mayor Henry's initially proposed budget. Not only has there not been zero-based budgeting by the mayor's office or by the city council, we're not even close. That's zero-based budgeting. That's well known. A popularly coined term. Zero-based regulation is something that I started talking about. I don't know if it's a formal term or not, but here's what it means. Within the first 6 months of the Smith administration, every department head will be called to appear before impacted businesses and residents. And that department head will be asked to justify every regulation that exists in their department. And to the extent they do not, we are getting rid of it. And I predict that within 9 to 12 months, Fort Wayne could become known as the easiest city in the Midwest in which to do business. Get rid of the unnecessary regulations. Clear the way for business, clear the way for profit.
You also mentioned a need to negotiate smarter deals, and this is going to be a two-part question. From your view, what is Fort Wayne doing poorly in negotiations, and can you cite a recent project taken on by the city you would have handled differently?
Yeah, well, there have been a number of contracts that have been poorly negotiated. Probably chiefly is the Red River trash contract. So it was in the summer of 2017 that the city council actually increased garbage collection fees. So we, the ratepayers, are paying more. A few months thereafter, they selected Red River to be our new trash hauler. Now, Red River had not much experience, if any, with cities the size of Fort Wayne. It was very foreseeable that they might struggle with picking up our trash. That's bad, but this is worse. In a contract, which is millions and millions of dollars a year, paid for by us, the taxpayers, our mayor failed to include a definition for material breach. Our city council passed on a 9-0 voice vote the same contract. I'll give you a final example of poorly contracted deals. In the fall of last year, the mayor announced proudly that he saved the taxpayers $4.5 million a year by virtue of renegotiating the health insurance contract on behalf of 1,800 city employees. He simply picked up the phone, he called Parkview and Lutheran, and he said, would you two like to compete for the 1,800 employees' health insurance coverage? They both said yes, Parkview won, Lutheran lost, and then the mayor boasted that he saved us $4.5 million. By the way, there was no report that they changed the deductible, the coinsurance, nor the coverages. I've been told by health insurance brokers who sell health insurance to municipalities that if those three levers would have been pulled, the savings might not have been 4.5. It might have been 10 or even $15 million a year. Now, why didn't Tom Henry do that when he first took office 11 years ago? Had he done it, which is what all private businesses have been doing forever, health insurance is one of the most expensive line items in any business. But if the mayor would have only saved 4.5 11 years ago, we, the taxpayers, would have $50 million in the bank right now to redeploy. Now, let me take you back 9 months to the midst of the electric works debate. There was a long discussion about whether the taxpayers could come up with $65 million to get electric works done. Well, had the mayor made one phone call 11 years ago, $50 million would have been taken care of. And if you don't like that project, it would have been $50 million more in sidewalks, $50 million more in streets, $50 million more in sewer pipes and water lines or public safety, police or fire. You fill in the blank. Poor financial management over decades has cost us taxpayers tens and tens of millions of dollars. That will change in the Smith administration.
Over the last maybe year or so, we've seen quite a bit of confusion openly about the status of Fort Wayne's legacy fund. Some projects have been delayed specifically for the fact that some members of the committee and city council don't really seem quite clear on the rules or status and seem to be seeking guidance from the mayor's office. So as mayor, what guidance would you provide with Fort Wayne's legacy fund?
Yeah, this is actually easy. The legacy fund from the beginning was intended to be a big chunk of cash in a bank account, the interest of which would be spun off and invested for economic development purposes, for job attraction purposes. It was about $35 million initially. It grew substantially above that with stock market growth. Unfortunately, today, if the electric works $10 million is taken out, and that's still to be determined, it's down to just over $10 million. Not only have we not preserved the corpus, we've actually given it away. If I were mayor, I would have a litmus test for legacy funds. First of all, if I'm mayor, the first rule is we're not going to give it away. The second rule is we will only invest zero interest loans, no interest loans into projects that are going to generate high paying jobs. That is the Tim Smith for Mayor litmus test for a good public investment. Will it generate high paying jobs? If yes, it is worthy of consideration. If no, it's not. That's the direction for the legacy fund under Tim Smith.
The opioid crisis is a problem not just here, but pretty much everywhere around the nation for a while now. Your opponent has rolled out a plan for how he intends to fight the epidemic were he to become mayor. What is your vision for how Fort Wayne can sort of turn a positive corner with the opioid epidemic?
Yeah, let me give the mayor a compliment. I too would have joined the lawsuit, the class action lawsuit against drug dispensers about, what, 9 months or so ago, yeah, when he did that. So that's one thing we can do. But I don't think the government is the solution to all of our social problems. If LBJ's Great Society has taught us anything, it is that the government alone is not the cure-all to all of our social ills. If it was, we would not be one of the worst infant mortality cities and zip codes in the state of Indiana. We would not be in a terrible sex trafficking position, and we are. You mentioned opioids. The drug problem is bigger than just opioids. That's the word du jour that gets everybody's attention. I'm worried about cocaine, and I'm worried about marijuana. While many would want to legalize it, I'm worried about all of these drugs. So LBJ's Great Society taught us the government's not the cure-all. Here's what I think the cure-all is. We are the city of churches. We have over 2,000 filed 501c3s. About 400 of which are in the human service space. True North, a local consultant not long ago, did a study on those 400. And here's what they concluded. Those 400 have a combined budget of about $800 million. And together, they employ about 11,000 people. Now, let me put that in perspective in relation to the city budget. The city budget is 240. These 400 human services budget, 800. The city has about 1,800 employees. These nonprofits, 11,000 employees. The nonprofits are many multiples larger than the city. But more importantly than the money, more importantly than the number of employees, if you volunteer or work for a nonprofit, you have a heart. You care about literacy or nutrition or sex trafficking. You fill in the blank. What I want to do as mayor, to address the opioid problem, sex trafficking, infant mortality, and others that I didn't mention, is I want to coordinate and convene our nonprofit resources and bring much larger resources to bear on all of our social problems. The city of Fort Wayne has 1,800 employees. They're all pretty busy. We're not going to take firefighters, accountants off the streets, people fixing potholes. We're not going to take them off the streets to cure these social problems. We have to find other resources. That's what excellent CEOs do. They look elsewhere and they find other people, other resources to convene to solve problems.
In your March 7th debate with your primary opponent, you and your opponent, Councilman John Crawford, seem to be kind of unified in the goal to unseat Mayor Tom Henry in November, no matter who comes out of the primary on May 7th. Your campaign released a cartoon ad and mailer, both of which were critical for a history of votes on taxes, and saying that they were bad for Fort Wayne. Your opponent says he was surprised by the ads and felt the latter statement crossed a line. In hindsight, do you agree with that?
What I've done with my ads is merely I've restated the facts. And the facts are that Councilman Crawford has voted for virtually every tax increase in recent memory. 2013, the county option income tax. 2016, a wheel tax. 2017, a local income tax. The use of the animation in highlighting the taxes was actually intended to take an edge off. Some people perceive it otherwise. That's okay. But campaigns are about exposing records. That's all I've done in this campaign. I've exposed his record. By the way, I've also said publicly many times of late, and I'll say again, should John Crawford beat me, I'm absolutely going to support him against Tom Henry. In fact, I'm going to write him his first check on the night of the election. So I am committed to bringing the Republican Party together to beat Tom Henry. And what I'm going to do against Tom Henry is the same thing I've done with John Crawford. I'm going to merely expose the mayor's voting history on city council, his time as mayor and what he's done, and maybe more importantly, what he's not done, which is attract new jobs to Fort Wayne.
Even though your focus is the May 7th primary, I'm sure there's a part of you that's thinking a little bit about November already. There will certainly be voters who look at Tom Henry's track record over three terms with neighborhood and infrastructure improvements. What makes Tim Smith a better option for residents of the city of Fort Wayne?
I'll give you three reasons. Jobs, jobs, and jobs. I love every minimum wage job. I hope we get more. I love every $15 an hour job. But as mayor, I want to attract more 80,000s than 40,000s simply because it generates more tax revenue and it will make us all safer. It will improve schools for everybody. It's the incomes that we need. The next mayor needs to be attracting jobs. Frankly, if I thought Mayor Henry or Councilman Crawford would do that effectively, I might not even be running. But for the sake of my five children, my five grandchildren, and their generation, we must have a mayor who will bring back thousands and thousands of jobs.